We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the Youth League football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
From Learfield IMG College, this is Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics. Aggies All the Way is presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender.
All right, it's another edition of the Aggies All the Way podcast. We had a chance to catch up with Blake Anderson just a few days ago, and today I'm excited for this one, fired up for this conversation. Ephraim Bonda, new defensive coordinator at Utah State, kind enough to join us as we get you your football fix, talk a little defense for Utah State. Coach, thanks for joining the podcast, and first off, how is the transition for you and the family coming from Miami to Logan?
Absolutely amazing, more than I could ever have asked or thought of. My family absolutely loves it. I have a three-year-old daughter who has never met anyone that she doesn't call a friend. So with all the children in the community, with the parks on literally every corner, it's been a blast. My wife has just really enjoyed it. Our neighbors, our neighborhood, the community, the Mormon community has just been so welcoming to us and really have just helped us fit in right away. And every day I wake up and truly amazed at just, you know, Logan, the community, and the true genuineness of the people in Cache Valley. So it's been a blessing. We're super excited to be here.
Lots of plates of cookies, I'm sure. That's how it usually rolls.
Oh man, between the cookies and the soda shops.
Yeah,
if you will,
there you go.
it's killing us. I had to stop from hitting them all the time and get back in the weight room a little bit. So well, it's been great.
Well, when Blake Anderson reaches out and says, "Hey, I'm coming to Utah State. I'd like for you to take over the defense." What was the appeal and what was that process like for you?
It was, you know, a true blessing. Obviously I had a great situation at the University of Miami working for one of my mentor, if you will, and a story program. And it wasn't something that I was looking to leave, but I've told many people that when certain people call, you listen. And I truly believe that Blake Anderson's on this Mount Rushmore of coach head coaches that you want to work for. You know, I worked for some really good head coaches in my time, and I've learned the value in that and how much it helps you as a football coach, helps you you know, with your staff, ultimately with your players, and at home. And when you work for a really good head coach, it just improves the value of your life. And I've always heard that Blake Anderson's one of those guys. It's really good to his staff, really promotes family. Doesn't just say it. Everyone says that. Every coach says promotes family, but truly lives it, believes it, pushes us to be, you know, good fathers and to be around our family. So when he called, definitely was all in on listening and talking. And then when it became about, you know, the Mountain West, Utah State, the success they had, it was, you know, for sure a no-brainer for us.
One thing that really jumped out at me when I was able to sneak to a couple of practices, and in particular, anybody that went to the spring game saw the insane amount of energy coming from both sidelines. And, you know, on the offensive side, your counterparts are bringing all kinds of emotion, and you guys bring emotion as well. Is that part of the philosophy of the coach that you are and this coaching staff that Blake Anderson's put together?
It is. And it's actually, I heard you speak on it on the radio, and it was actually something that stuck out to me. Really, to this point, one of the things you had mentioned after watching the game was the energy that we had on defense.
Yeah.
And the excitement and the aggressiveness that we were playing with. And you kind of mentioned it, and it was kind of brushed off. And I remember you talking about it, you know, during whatever radio show you're on. And it is something that's very, very important to us defensively. You know, our kids are going to play as hard as we coach. And if we walk in there and we're just monotoned and not excited about the day and that moment, and we don't coach them like that, they're going to play like that. And I also truly believe that their lives are so freaking hard with school, the different COVID things they got to deal with, family, you know, everything that a student athlete has to go through that, you know, you get to see it from the seat you're in.
Yeah.
That the normal fan or person doesn't get to see that when they step on that field, I want them to have fun. I want them to enjoy it the way they enjoyed it, you know, in Pop Warner and Little League. I want them to have that to come out in them. And I try to coach them to that. I try to have our staff push to that. And I will say this, Coach Anderson, Blake Anderson is huge on that. If you don't come out there ready to bring it and coach these kids hard with a lot of energy and juice, he gonna call you out on it.
Love it.
And that's what you want, because the kids will feed off of you. It'll trickle down. And I truly believe it does, you know, grow into successful teams. I think it's something that's important, you know, when you look at wins and losses. So for me, yes, I've always been a high energy guy. I was groomed that way. I was always that way as a player, sometimes a little over the top, but I'd rather be over the top than just kind of, you know, even steady, not that excited, because I don't want my players to play that way.
What jumped out at you when you were able to get your arms around some of these kids and see their capabilities during spring and, you know, kind of showcase what you saw in that, in those practices and in that game and how you feel like that can translate into fall?
I think the biggest thing that jumped out to us as a staff was their eagerness, their willingness to move on from what they had been through. They have a chip on their shoulder, and they don't want to deal with or go through what they went through in, you know, last year. And when you take over a team, depending on how you take them over, what the situation is, the kids just they take to you differently. They respond to you differently, and have been through different programs, walked into different situations. This team, these group of kids, they are hungry. They really, really are hungry, and they are always looking for more to get better at, whether it's in the film room, the weight room, whatever we say. What's so good about this group is they're on the edge of their seats just listening and waiting. I'll never forget one of the first few meetings we had defensively. Dang near every kid had a pen, a paper, was on the edge of their seat, taking notes, you know, bright-eyed. You know, wasn't yawning, wasn't lazy. It was just they were in their seats early. It was just an eager, hungry group. And so for me, that definitely stood out, you know, and it was great to see. Again, I really admired, you know, what Frank had done here. I know there were some tough times, but Frank Miley, you know, obviously, you know, pushed these kids and saw it through with them, and had a lot of respect for what he's done and you know, helped get these kids through it, and a lot of respect to see those kids with that type of energy and that type of fight, even as they played last season, was great to see.
Ephraim Bonda, new defensive coordinator at Utah State, joining us right here on the Aggies All the Way podcast. I want to talk about the transfer portal, because you were able to nab some kids to kind of come in and help right away. Focus on a few of those guys and what we can expect from them, because a lot of these guys have some pretty impressive resumes that are coming into town.
Yeah, you know, the transfer portal is something that we spend a lot of time, quote unquote, dominating, if you will, at Miami. You know, we've had a lot of success there with it. I mean, you look at Jalen Phillips, who just won in the first round, who was a transfer from UCLA. We actually have a UCLA transfer, Marcus Moore, here. We had a lot of success really over the last 5 years with it. And really what we learned over the years at Miami and the transfer portal is you just got to take the right type of guy. You don't go in the portal and just close your eyes and select a guy. You got to do your research. You got to look into the type of player he is. Not only that, but just the type of person he is. You know, what is he leaving? Why is he leaving? Are the reasons validated? Is he hungry for another chance? So all those things we learned over the last 5 years, and like I said, had a lot of success with it. So it's something we're very familiar with, you know, for me and the few guys that came over with me to Miami. I know Blake Anderson did an excellent job there at Arkansas State. So we just kind of put our heads together and said, hey, you know, we can make some hay, if you will, with this transfer portal. And we figured it's a good way to kind of get things going, bring a spark to the team. And we're excited to use it. We'll continue to use it. So for us, you know, I can go down a list in terms of guys, and if you want me to start down that list, but for us, it was something that was important. The other thing I'll say about the transfer portal, the guys we got, most of them, with the exception of one or two guys, have multiple years of eligibility. So they're not just one stop, you know, guys. They're guys that are going to be part of this community, part of this program, for multiple 2, 3, sometimes even 4 years.
When you talk to a guy in the portal, especially when you're dealing with it through COVID and the long dead period that you guys had to deal with, did you have relationships? I know that you personally had relationships with a couple, but for the most part, did the staff have relationships with everybody? Because you can't really meet with them, you can't visit them, you can bring them on campus. Was a lot of that just relationship based that you were able to snag some of these kids?
Some were, for sure. Some were. You know, obviously Justin Rice and him coming from Arkansas State, and his connection with Blake Anderson and Nick Ferensky and Ethan Morris, who were on staff there defensively, who were part of our staff here. Yes, Pat Joyner, a guy that was at Miami with us before. Sometimes it was a kid that we had recruited in the past that, you know, just kind of wound up deciding at another school and said, hey, it didn't work out, and jumped in the portal and kind of, you know, just started talking about, you know, joining our program. So some of that was not, you know, when it's not, what you have to do is try to build a relationship in the fastest amount of time possible. You have to do a great job of explaining your scheme, a lot of Zoom calls, showing what we do, how we do it, face-to-face, as much as we can say in this COVID era, face-to-face Zooms where, you know, you got to really just sit down and talk with a parent, a guardian, a coach, a player to head coach. Those are the things you had to do, you know, at as high a level as possible to make sure you have the right type of guy. So some were, you know, some weren't. Some were just guys that we had played against. Like Jahazel Lee was a guy that we had played against at Miami. He was at Georgia Tech for a while. Byron Vons is a guy that, you know, I was at the University of Texas. And when you leave a place, you still follow the program, so you know about guys that are coming in and out. Guys that maybe you had recruited, but they didn't come, et cetera. So it is a familiarity, but there's also there's just a blind, if you will, a recruitment process still that has to go on through the transfer portal.
I guess, and not saying that anybody would ever, you know, more often than not do this in the past, but I got to imagine we're living in a world now with the one free transfer and the portal and all of that, where if you lose out on a kid in recruiting, you don't want to burn any bridges, because you never know when he might be calling you looking for a spot.
No, it's true. It's so true, especially the local ones. You know, they often come back to the area that you know, they left. And look, we were both 18-year-old young men, if you will. And we remember, if you look back at that time in your life, you, myself, we all wanted to venture out and see the world and get away, quote unquote, my son, same way, which is good. It's healthy. You grow from it. But sometimes you also realize there's a lot at home for you. There's a lot of support, you know, so definitely local guys who leave the state. Obviously you can't contact them or keep up with them while they're, you know, on other teams, but yes, for sure. There's that component to it. Absolutely.
Let's talk about your staff that you've built. And, I know that you're excited. And again, referencing, just those dudes were, seemed like they were burning as many calories out on that field as the players themselves, running up and down the field. Talk about your staff and what you've assembled and what we can expect out of these guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the two guys that I brought with me from the University of Miami that, you know, Coach Anderson, you know, obviously blessed me with the opportunity to bring were awesome. They provide, you know, just a sounding board for me and Mike Zuckerman. He was our senior analyst there at Miami for more years than I was there. He's been great. He's our linebacker coach. He's a hard worker, young guy, trying to just do everything right possible. He knows me very, very well. He knows the scheme extremely well, as good as, you know, as much as I do, if not better sometimes. He's kind of our memory card, if you will. He's that USB that can always plug in and draw from information. You know, Alex Devine, who's, you know, our front coordinator, and is kind of like an analyst role, really has done a great job of helping us, you know, build the front and teach our coaches, you know, how we do things up front. I've been with him since I actually met or hired him at Mississippi State as a student assistant. We did at Manny Diaz, myself, and John DePacky. And then he came to us in Miami and now here. So he's been awesome. He's had the opportunity to be around all our D-line coaches over the last 6 years. So he's also kind of the memory card of the defense, who's, you know, that USB, you download all that information, be able to teach the coaches. Guys that we, you know, I've been blessed to have from Arkansas State is Nick Peremski, is our special teams coordinator and striker coach. High energy guy, a phenomenal recruiter, just a really good pulse of the team and really just the staff since he's been around Coach Anderson. He's a guy we lean on hard in terms of, hey, you know, is this the right, is this what he wants? Is this what we're thinking? How will he react to that? He's been great. He's also been a coordinator. So for me, always great to bounce ideas off of and communicate with. He's really good in the room with the kids. So he's been an absolute blessing. Our corners coach, Ray Brown, was an absolute steal. You know, we're going to just tell you right now, we're going to play press man. We're going to challenge. We're not going to give offenses easy ways out. And if you're going to do that, you got to be able to teach it, coach it. You know, Ray Brown grew up in the, you know, Todd Graham world of man coverage. So he understands it and he knows it. He was groomed in that in a really, you know, detailed high level. So it was a guy that we interviewed and just freaking absolutely blew the doors off of us. So he's been phenomenal. He's a strong recruiter, great people person, absolutely brings just a lot of energy and fun to the room. You know, Al Lapuaho, our D-line coach, who obviously is a standout there at Utah State.
Yeah, one of the best dudes on the planet, that guy.
Oh, God, unbelievable. He doesn't know this, but during recruiting, I didn't let him leave my side because he knows everybody in the area. As a new guy who's never been out west, I was like, hey, you know, I want this guy next to me because he's going to know everybody. And sure enough, every place we walked into, it was a show. I mean, people just gravitated to him, which I had the chance for 6 months to see and just in our room. But then it is true, genuine, you know, love and friendship when you see him react with a lot of the coaching profession and really just community. So, yes, just an absolute awesome human being, loves the program. He's really just bought into how we do things defensively, and he's been a blessing for sure. I got a great support staff, you know, young guys, Ethan Morris, Tim Burmeister, Chris Labadu, BJ Edmonds, guys from Arkansas State, Jumani, and really Jumani played there at Utah State as well. And just a really awesome, awesome group of guys that I'm just really, really happy to be surrounded by.
You talk about recruiting, and obviously this staff is built to recruit. And if you look, you just go on Twitter and you can find out really quickly how great the staff has been. And I know you can't go into details on names, and you got to be careful to walk that line a little bit, but by all accounts, you guys have really been knocking it out of the park. And it sounds like the message of Utah State has really been well received with high school kids.
Yeah. I mean, I'll be honest with you. It was very important in the hiring process for Coach Anderson and myself to bring in people who were strong recruiters, people who had great personality, and they could not only just express that in a room, but also on different social media platforms and do it in a wholesome, good way. So it was good for us to put those guys, all these guys. I told our staff, if you don't recruit, you're not going to work at Utah State. And that goes from, you know, the lowest man on the totem pole, you know, to me, to Coach Anderson, who gets after in recruiting. You know, it's very, very important for us. And we're trying to look, bottom line is Utah State won one game last year. We're trying to get the juice and excitement back into the program so people come and watch us and then let us do the rest of the work on the field and get you really excited about Aggie football again.
One thing that jumped out at me, and again, we've mentioned a couple times, but aggression and speed were the two things that really jumped out when I watched your defense. When Aggie fans pile into Maverick Stadium, you know, and you don't need to go too, well, if you want to, that's great. I love it. But you don't need to go too far down the X's and O's rabbit hole. But what can fans expect when they see this defense coming up here in the fall?
Well, one, I have nothing to hide, so I don't mind talking about it. Two,
I love it.
For me, we're going to be extremely multiple. We're not. My goal, the way I was raised in this profession and coaching defense, is be really, really hard to call plays against. And if you're going to be hard to call plays against, then you need to be multiple, just the way that offenses are. See, too many defenses just react. And look, you have to. But not enough, like offenses. Offenses give you lots of different things to make it hard on you. Why can't you have the same philosophy on defense? Why can't you give an offensive coordinator lots of things that he has to practice? Odd, even fronts, one high, two high, five-man pressures, six-man pressures, bracket coverage, zero. Lots of things so that when he has to practice and he sees you on film, he can only practice, you know, a few things. There's, look, in the day, there's X amount of plays you can run in scout team and X amount of hours you get to be with your kids. So the more that you can be multiple, but at the same time, simple for your kids, the harder it is for kids or for teams to, you know, prepare for you and to call plays again. So for me, it's definitely being multiple. The other thing that's going to be very, very important to us as a staff is just our tackling. We're a shoulder leverage tackling team, and it is gospel to us. It is very, very important. You know, we're right shoulder, left shoulder every day in practice. And the way that we tackle derives from the Seattle Seahawks, but really they got it from rugby tackling. It's something that, you know, we preach and hit every day. We don't start defensive practice until that's done, period. We don't do anything until we do that. You know, those certain tackling circuit drills, we hit it all there in practice. We actually, kids are still doing it in their player-ran practices right now. Like I said, we're going to be extremely aggressive in the back end. We're going to challenge at the corner position and in the back end. We're going to be a, you know, linebacker group that runs, you know, sideways or downhill. And up, we're going to get our feet across the line. You know, we're going to move on offensive linemen. I want to make it as hard as possible on all the offensive line coaches we play. And I want the offensive lines that we play to hate playing Aggies, because it's going to be a problem for them in terms of just the movement, the multiplicity, and the ability to get our feet across the line.
I love it, man. I think everybody listening right now is ready to strap up and run through a wall for you right now. That's incredible, especially the tackling too, because tackling seems to be a bit of a lost art in football, you know, and you know, teams have struggled certainly in the past on that. But, you know, the one thing I wanted to touch on, and I know I've already kept you way too long, but,
no, you're fine.
When you look at camp or when you look at spring and what you saw there, what are some of the position battles you're kind of looking forward to see how guys will step up and who will represent this team coming up in the fall?
Well, first, I'm just going to say the old coach cliche talk. There's not a position that is set on our defense. And I've told the group that. I know everyone says that, but the reality is this defense, unfortunately, was, you know, 100th or worse in every defensive statistical category last year. So no one earned, and this group has only won one game last year. And I know it was tough, and I know there was a lot of things that were dealt to this team that was, you know, not all their fault. But the bottom line is that's the reality. And no one's earned anything. I don't care if you're Shaq Bond, a senior, a guy who's just transferred, a freshman. Bottom line is training camp is wide open at every single position. And I want everyone to know that, feel that, sense it. And I will, and I'm going to make it that way throughout practice. But to kind of, you know, drill down to your question, so it's not just coach talk, it's boring, if you will.
No, nothing's boring about this conversation.
I would say, you know, really excited to see the corners, injuries in the spring. So there was guys in and out of the roster or the depth chart. And I thought Coach Brown was going to quit on me about halfway through it. But, you know, we had a lot of injuries in there. So I'm looking forward to see that group, you know, compete and fight it out. I'm looking for four guys who will set edges and tackle. And I'm looking, you know, for four guys that can get out there and challenge and really just up for the challenge, period. I'd say that safety for sure. For me, as a position coach, taking the defensive coordinator hat off, I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, who the best four guys we can depend on, who the best four tacklers, who the guys can get us lined up and communicate and know what to do and not bust and play at a high level. So, you know, I know we have a guy in Shaq Bond that's played a lot of football, but I told him, I said, hey, buddy, you know, it is what it is. You go out there and prove it. You know, and you're in a contract year, just like you're going to be, God willing, if you ever get that opportunity in the NFL. So you this is just the opportunity to, you know, get your feet wet in that environment. And I want to see it, you know, really take advantage of it, which I think he's done through the summer. At linebacker, there's three or four guys that I really just want to see take over, if you will, and separate themselves. D-line, it's really interesting. We only, you know, we had some guys injured as well up front. So that front, the defensive end room, I want to see, you know, what four guys are going to be the guys that just really take the reins and say, hey, I'm the guy, I'm a starter. Is there a guy in that room that's just going to really do exactly what we're asked in terms of all the end techniques and the quarterback run game and be disciplined at the same time, you know, really be physical and rush the passer. And at D tackle, I mean, it's another question mark, if you will, of a lot of transfers and young guys that have been infused into the roster. So, you know, I'd love to see who's going to say, hey, I'm the guy. Look, Marcus Moore has been a good player. He's a transfer, but, you know, same time, like I told Shaq, bottom line is this team only won one game. So you, I don't owe you nothing, and you still have a lot to prove. Halle is a young man that I've just been really impressed with his effort and his attitude up to this point. Jahazel Lee, we brought in a transfer and Phil Paella from Michigan. There's a big group of young guys that I'm really hoping one of them will kind of, you know, stick his neck out there and really, you know, extend himself, if you will, and separate himself from the group. So it is a wide open race. And like I said, it truly is open, and I'm looking forward to the competition.
When you sign up and you come out here to Utah State, and I know this is the case in a lot of conferences, but it seems like it's really severe here in the Mountain West, where one week you're going to play Air Force and that offense, and then the next week you got Hawaii, who's going to go five wides and spread you out all over the place. Is this conference kind of unique in that? And what are the challenges of being a defensive coordinator here?
Well, it truly, in my opinion, I've always believed the Mountain West Conference of Group of Five conferences has been the most consistent over the years. There's no question about that. Other conferences had their runs of 1 or 2 years and have kind of, you know, just got hot. But this conference over the years has been the most consistent, high-level, successful conference. And with that being said, there's the multiplicity in this conference. You're right. You have to triple. You got 12 personnel teams. You got 10 personnel teams. You got 11 personnel teams. You got traditional spread. You got air raid. You got running gun. You know, you got power and, you know, gap scheme type teams. So, for sure, it does excite you. As a coordinator, it gets you excited about, you know, game planning these teams. We've watched all of them you know, over the spring and summer. And, you know, well, that's what you want. You know, you want to be challenged. You want to see lots of different things. It makes you better as a coach personally, and it makes you better as a player and a team. Because bottom line is, you don't know what you're going to see in the postseason, and you want to be prepared for all those things.
One final question for you, and it's kind of more of a philosophy, but, you know, it's the fourth quarter, and your team's up by four, and you need to get Air Force off the field, and that offensive line has just been shooting at your guys' legs all game long. They're tired. They're worn out. And you got to dig deep, and this team, and I just, you know, I can tell from our conversation here, you preach toughness, you preach grit. Is that something that can be coached? Is that something that you have to recruit for? Is it something you can develop? Where does that come from? Where you can force a team three and out, give the ball back to your offense. They run out the clock. You win the game.
One name, Paul Jackson, our strength coach. That's where it comes from.
Wow.
And it comes from their time with him and what they're doing as we speak now, and the time, the effort, the level and the point that they're pushing themselves and Coach Jackson's doing and his staff in that weight room. Look, bottom line is, when it comes to toughness, yes, you can recruit to it. Yes, you can take players that are more tough than other players, but it is a matter of there is a development part to it that 100% is directed and comes from that strength program and that strength coach and his staff. We'll be good on defense because many reasons, but one of the biggest reasons will be Paul Jackson and what he does with that group and what he's doing now. So yes, when it's, you know, late in the game against Air Force and you need to stop and those guys are attacking us, which we're going to attack them. You know, we're going to be aggressive. Don't get me started on Air Force. We'll talk about that later.
Oh yeah.
But that style of offense. But I promise you, it will come from our strength program. And we all on that field, and, you know, there's a media timeout, and we're in the huddle, and we're waiting to take that field again for that play. I'll remind them of that. I'll remind them of these moments that they're going through in the summer and the time that they're spending and the places they're going mentally and physically right now. And that will be enough to make that stop, to give that ball to our offense so we can win that game.
Well, Coach, I said 10 minutes. We went 30. I really apologize, but this has been one of the more fun conversations I've been a part of in a long, long time. Certainly appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us, and look forward to many more of these conversations down the line.
Absolutely. Anytime I talk ball, I can talk for hours. I'm sure you can too, and I really appreciate you having me. Thank you for everything you do for this program and your commitment to it. And we're excited to be a part of your family and this family, and we're going to do as much as we can to make you very proud.
This has been Aggies All the Way, the official podcast of Utah State Athletics, presented by Guild Mortgage. Guild Mortgage Company and the Karen Nielsen team is experienced and knowledgeable with all types of loan products and can tailor the perfect loan for you. Karen and the team would love to meet you and help you own what matters. NMLS number 3274, Equal Housing Lender. The proceeding has been a Learfield IMG College presentation of the Aggie Sports Network.
Let's jump into Peppa's world of play. Look for spring flowers, hunt for muddy puddles, and bravely explore exciting places with Peppa play sets. Peppa Pig, inspiring kid confidence.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.